The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
7:10 a.m. The Word welcomes you to Pastor with our host, Dr. John Jackson, president of William Jessup University, as he talks heart-to-heart with pastors and leaders. Learn what God is doing in our churches and community, areas of tremendous challenge and opportunity, and the exciting hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Now, here's Dr. John Jackson.
Well, hello, Pastor to Pastor audience. Thank you so much for your participation in our experience here, and thank you for the conversation. As you know, each time we gather, we're really thinking about what God is doing in the spiritual climate, the atmosphere throughout the Sacramento region, and often we'll look at individual churches or specific ministries, but today I've got a special treat for you. Here in the studio with me, I have David Harrison. He's the founder of International Association of Ministries. We're going to learn more about it, but specifically, IAMM.net. IAMM.net will give you sort of the web address there and access. We're going to hear a story today of a ministry that literally makes it possible for local and global ministries to do their work and therefore expand the harvest. I think it's going to be a fascinating conversation. David, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So, David, I have to learn a little bit about your background. We're going to talk about IAM in just a moment, but before we do, what's your background? Where were you born and raised, and how did you end up here?
Well, that's interesting, and I won't go into it too deeply, but I grew up in Kentucky, which is paradise, you know.
It's where
the thief on the cross is buried. It's paradise. And, I grew up in a great Southern Baptist home, but by the time I was a teenager, I became an aggressive atheist. I was a in-your-face atheist.
A little hostile then, yeah.
Looked for people to,
okay.
to you know, try to dissuade them from their faith. And that happened for many, many years. And through the witness of my mother and other people, I ultimately came to the realization that that was, frankly, a stupid position to take, at least from my perspective.
Sure, sure.
And turned around. I had been kicked out of high school in Southern California. I could not go to any high school in Southern California.
Wow.
So I joined the Army, got a GED just to get out of KP duty. And and then when I came to Christ, everything changed. And I went on then to go to college and then graduate school. And I'm what I would call a spiritual eclectic. My wife wants to say I'm a spiritual schizophrenic, but I grew up Southern Baptist and Northern Baptist, North American Baptist, went to a Nazarene college and a Methodist graduate school, and most of my friends are charismatic and Pentecostal. So I don't know where I fit in, but I would say I'm an eclectic.
Yeah, there you go. You're an eclectic, or the United Nations, or you're a John 17 guy.
Okay.
You know, I always love how John 17, I have a similar pedigree, by the way. Grew up Baptist, but lots of different streams over the course of my life. And John 17, Jesus prays that we are one,
yes.
as he and the Father are one, so that the world may know.
Yes.
And I actually think that background of yours may have been what God used to equip you to launch this ministry. So tell me about the vision for International Association of Ministries, how it got established, what was the need, how did you know about it, and then we're going to talk about the current status in just a few moments.
Okay. Yeah, I started off actually as new church ministries, and
okay.
we planted over, I was a pastor for a while, I was a youth director for a while, and then I wanted to launch out into my own ministry. And so I started new church ministries, and we planted or helped to plant around 38 churches
My
over the
goodness.
First 3 years that we
wow.
were in that. And I had moved up here to plant a church and had turned it over to someone else. And now I was looking for a new project. And I said, well, you know, we have a lot of kind of birthing, seedling churches,
yes.
and that's fine. But I looked around, and, you know, there's a lot of competition for planting new churches,
yes.
at least there was then. I mean,
sure.
there's denominations, there's organizations.
Right, right.
And about that time, I met a young man by the name of Rob Dirks.
I know Rob, yes.
yes.
Okay,
and
good.
He was working with Youth for Christ at the time. And he had a ministry that was really felt compelled to do, and Youth for Christ was kind of reorganizing their mission and and going back to their roots, which was a good thing. But, you know, he didn't feel that the fit was there. And so he chatted with me, Dave, can I maybe get underneath your umbrella for a while? And as we talked, and he did right away because, you know, he's a great guy with great character and a great mission and passion. It began to dawn on me that there's all kinds of people want to plant new churches, and thank God for that. I mean, we need more good churches. Mm. But there's hardly anyone that wants to plant a parachurch or what we call a nonprofit organization.
Right. Yes.
And there's no one around that seems to be wanting to do that. And since I'd had a denominational background, a church background, I used the same kind of mentality, the same picture in my mind. But it was Baptist, and Baptists are all independent, autonomous, right?
That's
so I learned that from the get-go.
The autonomy of the local church.
Yeah,
yes.
And so I said, why don't we start something similar to that? And so I talked with our board. I talked with a variety of leaders here in the community, and eventually we started International Association of Ministries, designed specifically to multiply need-meeting, hurt-healing, hope-building evangelistic ministries anywhere possible.
Okay, you got to help me with that because that phrase was powerful. Need meeting, hope.
Need meeting, hurt healing.
Hurt healing. So need meeting,
hurt healing, hope building evangelistic ministries.
Wow. I love that. That's so powerful. By the way, the word for salvation, I've been just encouraging people to know this. In the scripture, the word for salvation is means saved, healed, and delivered. And so many times we have such limited understandings or view. We think it's praying a prayer, or which is awesome. It's wonderful. And you know the power of God to transform a life. You've shared it in your own testimony. But so I love the fact that you're launching these ministries. And I want to hear about the structure, but I want to say this. If you're listening and you think, oh gosh, okay, there's a need meeting. There's a hurt healing. There's a hope building. There's an evangelistic ministry that I know about. And you just assume that the ministry happens. What you might not be aware of is in nonprofit ministries, the structure of actually doing the ministry has to be supported by some organizational things, the financial filing requirements with the IRS, the accounting part, the receiving contributions. Some of those things are just a challenge. And so I know that your ministry, David, has stepped into that breach. So could you describe a little bit of what you do for all these ministries that are local and global?
Sure. There's a certain category of a person that is called of God, wants to serve, is passionate about serving, but that's where their heart is. Their heart is not in the admin, the administration.
Right.
It's not into, filing things with the IRS, and it's not into all that stuff. So we came along and we said, we're going to handle all that for you. Your liability insurance, we're going to handle all the IRS stuff, or you're going to have everything that you would want to have as a 501c3 not-for-profit corporation, except you don't have to do any of that. We'll do it. We'll handle it all.
Just
go minister.
Yes.
And we'll support you in any way we possibly can. So now we don't raise money for them, or we haven't until hopefully this year, but we do encourage them, support them. We have meetings regularly so that they can network with each other, and they can. We teach them stuff like how to opt out Social Security because not everyone should, even though they. And so we teach them all of that kind of stuff. We keep them legal because a lot of times we're doing stuff that we don't know it's illegal.
Right, I know some ministries that have been sunk by that, not just the legalities, but they've been sunk by the administration requirements of running a nonprofit. They've been sunk by the legalities of it.
Yep.
But boy, what a great calling in ministry. Give us a description. I have a list here, not the complete list, but 40-plus local ministries, 10-plus international. Could you just give us a couple examples if you're free to? Is it possible for you to tell us some specifics of the stories of some of those ministries?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to.
Oh, please do.
Now, I'm going to try to be careful here because this one, I tear up every time I talk about it.
Well, if you tear up, I'll just fill.
Okay, all right. One example is Teen Mom Connection. Now, Teen Mom Connection is one of our ministries, been around for maybe 12, 15 years now. that works with pregnant teenagers. And they find pregnant teenagers, mm-hmm. and they come alongside them, and they mentor them, and they encourage them, and they support them, let them know that they're not in this alone.
Right.
And they don't push Christ, but they certainly give them an opportunity yes. to know how Christ works and so forth. And if that door opens, they lead them to Christ. Mm. And so it's a great ministry, and they have a retreat every year where they take the moms and their kids with them. And part of the beauty of that's just a great story all by itself.
I love
because
it. Yes.
You know, because typically they're in high school when this happens. So they don't ever
right.
finish high school.
Right.
They're typically not going to go on to college. They're going to wind up often, not every time, but often in some level of poverty.
Yes.
Well, the girl that is Stephanie Ortega is now running that show, mm. running that program, started out in our program as a pregnant teenager.
My. Wow.
She's since graduated from high school
Praise
and
God.
College.
Wow.
And now she is leading this ministry.
That is discipleship in its truest form of the word. She was reached and touched, and then she ended up over time growing, developing,
yes.
maturing, and now she's leading the ministry.
Yeah.
I just can't describe for you how much that encourages my heart.
It's awesome. Now I'll give you an example of, I can't even mention his name openly. He has a ministry in India. He started here.
Yes.
Under working with us, and he's one of our international. By the way, when we started International Association of Ministry, we did not even have one international ministry.
Your name was Aspiration.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's how God works.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But he and his wife are in India, have been there for now 3 years, and they share Christ. Their goal is to be evangelistic, but in India right now, you have to be very, very careful about
right.
that. But their primary ministry, need meeting, hurt healing ministry, is they work with AIDS kids with AIDS, and they have a home for them, more than one home for them, and
yeah.
they take care of them, they feed them if needed, they provide clothing if needed, they share Christ with them, they pastor them,
yes,
and then they travel all over India, trying to find pastors and so forth, because... But we can't. It's so bad over there now that we can't even include his picture on our website.
Yep.
So
what I love about David, what you're describing with the International Association of Ministries, again, you can go to IAMM.net. And by the way, when we're finished today, I'll be going to your website because I have so many friends for whom this kind of thing, they have a heart in their to do a ministry. They have a group they want to reach, a people they want to serve. And yet it is often the administrative structure that is so hard. So let me just again go through a suite of services. Do you have the ability to receive contributions from
yes.
ministries?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And when you receive those contributions, you also provide receipts to the donors and
correct.
Comply with all the tax laws of annual statements, that sort of thing.
Correct.
That's fantastic. Tell me a little bit, there's a couple new fine points that I would know about because of my history. What if people want to pursue licensing or ordination? Do you have that available?
We do. We
okay.
have license and ordination. Depends on your experience, B, your education.
Okay.
But we do have a process where you can become licensed.
Great.
Or if you are licensed, a lot of times people will already be licensed. But for instance, if you're licensed in some groups and you leave that group.
If you leave that denomination or that movement,
you
might.
Yes,
yeah.
But with us, we're an International Association of Ministries, so
sure.
you never lose your license
right.
unless,
right.
of course, you abdicate Christ.
Yes,
of course.
That's
but,
right. That's
yeah,
right.
So we do that. We provide licensing and ordination. Yes.
Okay. So, David, when you think about all those services and ministries are coming to you, like this Team Mon ministry that you mentioned, the global ministry you suggested, how does the governing board work? Is the governing board resident within the International Association, or does each individual ministry have their own separate board? How does that work?
Yeah, it's really a combination, meaning each individual ministry is expected to, encouraged to form their own board. But this is an advisory board, not a – they don't have –
It's not a corporate board,
it's not a
legal board. Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
Our
yeah.
corporate board is – partly in Southern California, partly in Colorado Springs, and partly right here.
Okay.
So the corporate board that handles all of the legal requirements and so forth is an executive board.
Yes.
But we do expect and want each individual ministry to have a board that runs just like a board, except
yes.
they don't have the liability
right.
issue.
So they're advisory. They have a heart for the ministry. They can speak into the life and contours without taking the legal responsibilities. And again, in my role running a large university and formerly as a pastor and denominational person, I can just tell our listeners the process of running a ministry can sometimes consume a lot of energy and focus. And what you're trying to do is say to people who have a heart and a vision, let International Association of Ministries take the burden. This is what I hear you saying, that let us take the burden of being the corporate governance and the administrative and financial fiduciary responsibilities so that the ministry can be free to focus on the hurt that needs to be healed.
Yes.
And the hope that needs to be built, the need that needs to be met. Just what a great passion. It feels to me, David, like it's a huge need. Are you finding good response?
We do, but you know, until recently, this is being one of the few. I chose early on not to do any advertising or any promotion at all.
At all.
Zero.
Okay.
So in other words, I said, Lord, I'm looking for people that are looking for you. You put it together, it'll work. And
yep.
so we have probably maybe 100 ministries that we've spun off because a ministry will get to a certain size.
And then they decide they want their own.
Yeah, or maybe it didn't work out for them.
Okay.
You know, something came up and they had to drop it. You have a certain kind of personality. I call
sure.
them A personalities
sure.
where they need to and they're gifted to
right.
run their show.
That's right.
And I applaud that.
We
and they
bless
usually
that.
Become
yeah,
what we call
that.
Affiliates.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're still with us. They have access to everything that we do. They can be licensed with us. But they have their own 501c3, and
okay.
they run that. See, my goal is just to remove any obstacles that we can remove to you carrying on your ministry
wow.
totally and completely.
And so you've had maybe 100 that you've spun off today. I have a note that you have 40-plus local and 10-plus international.
Yes.
Is that roughly accurate?
Yes.
Okay.
Now,
great.
We are moving into Southwest Florida.
Okay.
We're starting IM Southwest Florida in the next 6 months.
Well, tell me a little bit about that. And is that because you or somebody else in the leadership is moving into that direction, or is there just a ministry hub that's starting there?
No, it's a long time. I went to graduate school with him many, many years ago, and he's was down in Florida, and he moved up to Pennsylvania, and now he's moving down to Florida. He's a great pastor, one of what I call the public gatherers. He,
mm-hmm.
He's great at gathering people.
Sure.
I mean, just everything he touches turns to people. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And so he said, Dave, when I move back down there, I want to start IM.
Yeah.
And so it will be a clone.
Okay.
They will not answer to us. We're not. I'm Baptist.
Yeah.
Meaning we're all autonomous. It's, you know, so we're in this thing together. Now we'll serve together and
sure.
he'll help me and I will help him and all of that. But so we're going to start there. We have another guy that's exploring Texas.
Ah.
We have about 5 members down in L.A., but we don't really have a leader that feels called yet down in L.A.
to run that.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a country in and of itself,
it
L.A.
is,
so,
yes, it is.
But yeah.
Yeah, wow, I love this. Well, David, what can we share with the Sacramento community? Sacramento community pastors and listeners may not even know how many nonprofits there are in this area. If you could ask for prayer or have people think about specifics in the Sacramento region, what would it be based on what you've experienced so far?
Well, there's several things. One, I would love to see not that there isn't, so I don't want any implication here, but a stronger, more vibrant, healthier partnership and relationship between the local church and parachurch ministries.
Ah.
I mean, historically, it is true that a parachurch ministry starts, and if they grow and get big, which they did back in the day, now there's tons of them
right.
that are small, well, they would always go to the local church and seek money,
mm-hmm.
you know, and seek leaders and so
sure.
forth and so on. And so even though none of these pastors were, you know, competitive with God, but they were just saying, we have a mission, and we're trying to fulfill that mission. And so there was a bit of a challenge, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So I'd like to see a healthier relationship between the local church and the parachurch community, and that we're in this together. Secondly.
Okay, go ahead.
Secondly, you know, there's about 300,000 and change churches in America.
Yes.
There are just under 30 million small and medium-sized businesses in America.
Just over 300,000 churches.
Yeah.
30 million plus small and medium-sized businesses.
Correct. Now, think of what would happen if the average small and medium-sized business just decided to find and work with 6 or 8 or 10 people a year to minister to their needs, to their hurts. Even if they weren't Christian, it doesn't matter. A need is a need, whether whether there's a title across the face, Christian or not.
Right.
And so what would happen if just the average, even if it's a small business, if they just took 10 a year? Well, that's 300 million. That's more than there are needs to be met. So the capacity, now churches are different because it costs more money. It's a whole different nature. But a small nonprofit ministry that's targeting a specific community need in partnership with the church and businesses, there's not a single need in America that could not be met every year by that partnership between businesses, the church, and a majority of those businesses, by the way, are either run by or have Christian employees.
Right.
So there's somebody in there who, if they had their self-confidence and the passion and the calling and the sense that I could do this thing, could actually lead the way for those businesses.
Yes.
And it doesn't, we don't, I mean, you know, I believe that the greatest charity in the world is Jesus. Mm-hmm. The greatest gift you can give to anybody, anywhere, is Jesus. But sometimes they need to be healed before they believe. Sometimes they need to be fed before they'll see.
Yes.
So we start there. And America's needs can be met by the existing organization. Sure, we need the government, but we don't just need the government. We can, the church, the parachurch, and the business community in the right kind of partnership could change the course of history in a very short period of time if we would just start saying, yes, we can.
That's so good. And I think, David, one of the things to be clear, and you've done it by the way you've described it, there is not a sacred secular divide. So everywhere we walk, every place the sole of our foot touches ground is holy and sacred ground. And when you're in your small or medium-sized business, you're on assignment for the Lord. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're an ambassador for Christ at your workplace. You're an ambassador for Christ as you are in your community. And so I love the idea, the picture. I want to pray over that before we close. I want to pray over the fact that we have opportunity, David, to have churches, ministries, and businesses in partnership together to meet needs. So let's say those four things again, and then I'm going to ask you to pray. The four things together, that you want to do an international association of ministries, you want to find needs met, hurts healed, hope built, and evangelism launch or witness occur.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to pray for churches, nonprofit ministries, and businesses to partner together so that that figure you said, 300 million, that's just under the population of the United States, that those needs can be met in our nation.
Yeah.
Would you pray for us?
Father, we just thank you in Jesus' name just for the privilege of thinking and talking about this, because it's your thoughts that move through our hearts and our minds. And if it's a good thing, it comes from you, because every good and perfect gift comes from you. And we know these needs, and we know that you have a passion for them much greater than ours. And all you're looking for is someone will say, here I am, use me, Lord, and really, really mean it. Mm-hmm. So we do pray right now in Jesus' name for a healthy relationship between the church that you have raised up and doing such an extraordinary job through every single day throughout this country, Lord, and around the world, and the parachurch ministries that are emerging as a part of a public recognition of what you're doing as well. And then the business community that has so many of the resources, both personal and financial, and leadership resources. If we could partner together, Lord, and it only comes from you, we know that. So if you would unite us in partnering to meet a need, to heal a hurt, to restore hope, and to present Jesus as the answer to all of them, and I pray that in the name and the authority of Jesus Christ, whom we love. Amen.
Amen. David, I just pray blessing and favor on your ministry. We've been talking with David Harrison, International Association of Ministries. I want to exhort and encourage you that vision for churches, nonprofit ministries, small to medium-sized businesses. I love the heart of International Association of Ministries. Please go to this website, iamm.net. Understand what God has called them to do. David, thank you for your faithfulness and fruitfulness, and we pray an abundant harvest in the years to come. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed Pastor to Pastor with our host, Dr. John Jackson, president of William Jessup University. If you'd like more information on today's guest, please call 916-924-0710 with the date of the program or listen at KFIA.com under the Ministries tab. We appreciate all area pastors and leaders for their selfless commitment to our region. Please tune in again next week at the same time for another glimpse into God's church on Pastor to Pastor.